I would like to share with you a message I have entitled, Everything is Kingdom. Everything is Kingdom. What I mean by that, when I say the word kingdom, is when the Lord, when they asked him, could you teach us to pray? He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Kingdom is a compound word, two words, king's domain. And so we see that purpose all the way from the beginning of Scripture all the way to end is that God's desire, his purpose, his plan, his will, his hope is that we as mankind would take his desire, which is a good desire, his ontology, who he is, the essence of who he is, and that we would, through worship of him and being transformed by him and being made in his image, that we would take that to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so when God said to Adam and Eve in the beginning, he said, be fruitful, multiply, and extend this kingdom of the garden out to the ends of the earth. And then when Jesus came, he said, go and make disciples of what? All nations, the same proclamation, the same commission, that we would take the king's dominion, his domain, his desire to the nations until ultimately that the earth will be covered with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And so everything is kingdom. Everything that we are participating in that has the essence of the one who created all things, which is self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love. That's who God is. It's not what he does. Self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love. That's who God is. It's not what he does. Self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love. That's who God is. That's who he always was. That's who he will always be. And so when we talk about kingdom, we're not talking about people coming under the submission of this narcissistic warlord who wants to be worshipped because he's jealous of things in our lives that he can't stand to be in competition with. No, because self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love doesn't do that. The object of God's love, human beings made in the image of God, we are recipients of the very character and nature of God so that everything that he created is good. We read in Genesis, it's good. Good is always related to relationship. And so it's good. And then it was very good, and it was created for the purpose of life, and life to its fullest. And so that's what it is to participate with the Trinity, is to grow in trust of that self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love, as we grow in trust of that, and then we are free to be, free to breathe, free to live, free from to eat from the tree of life and then be as he is. And then the king's domain expands because it expands where? In us. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And so as from one image bearer to another imager, we become more and more self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered creation. As we worship the one who is self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered, and the kingdom expands. And so, when I say everything is kingdom, we have to get out of this dualistic mindset that we have sacred and secular. That we participate in things that are somewhere in God's kingdom, and then in whether we participate in things that aren't in God's kingdom. We think dualistically. No, everything you do, everything you participate in, you are an image bearer. You are the one who God has given authority and influence to. You are light. Everything is kingdom. And so that is the gist of that title. And so this isn't God just commanding us to, as a taskmaster, to be a part of what he's doing. He's asking us to participate with him. He's inviting us to participate with him. And so as the scripture for my theme text, I'd like to look at just two verses. This is from the book of Colossians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 23 and 24. Who switched this book out? This book is getting fuzzy. Last two or three days, I've noticed books are fuzzier at a certain distance. They have to go out a little more. Does that mean I'm getting younger? That's what I thought. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as unto or for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that the Lord, through the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance, the Lord Christ whom you serve. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as unto the Lord rather than for men. Why? Because that's the reality of what we're doing. Everything we do is kingdom. Everything we participate in is an invitation to a participation with the Trinity's desire to bring their essence to all of creation. What a privilege and how exciting that is. And so they invite us to participate in life with them. That's what the whole plan is. The communion, to be in communion with the Trinity itself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's so important that we have a good Trinitarian theology. That's just a big word for knowing God himself. It's so important that we know the essence of God himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's so important because everything that you see, everything you will ever participate in this life, in this age, today, in that life, the next life, the age to come, everything that we will participate in is an expression of the relationship of the essence of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Think about that. They cannot create anything that is contrary to themselves or contrary to the essence of their nature, which is love, which is, and you're hearing me say it a lot, self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love. Are we ready to say that together? Self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love. That's who God is. And you can't do anything to change that. Nobody can do anything to change that. That is the reality of life. That is truth right now, is that you are the recipient of self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love. The pew that you're sitting on is made from an oak tree that was created by self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love for your comfort. That pad that you're sitting on, made from some textile and fabric, probably some cotton, probably a lot of synthetic materials, all made with God giving us the ability to create as well. Any of you have pillows in your pew? We put them there for naps. If you need a nap in church, you know what my policy is? Take one. Take one. Everything you participate in. How many of you had breakfast already? Raise your hand high. I want to see breakfast eaters. All right. What did you do before you ate? Eddie prayed. Eddie is the only believer in the house. No. I'm surprised somebody didn't say, I cooked it. Robin said, I showered. Yeah, I can hear you. If you can hear me, I can hear you. Eddie said he prayed. I'm assuming Eddie prayed something along these lines. Father, thank you. And then he gave an expression of thank you for, what did you eat, Ed? Mmm. How do you eat your eggs? How do you like them? Sunny side up, over easy. I'm a scramble guy myself. Or omelet. And you had a bacon? The real stuff or that stuff that's already cooked you throw in the microwave? Yeah. Bacon. Nothing like pork. The essence of pork juice. Mmm. Fat. And you had potatoes? How'd you have those? Mmm. Anything in the potato? Butter. Butter. All right. So when Eddie gave thanks, right? Everything is kingdom. When Eddie gave thanks, he did something along these lines. He said, Father, thank you. I've been around Eddie enough to know. I can probably say he already said he prayed. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Was that you or was that Beth or someone else? Oh, you went out. All right, so Bob Evans, Eaton Park, Denny's, Buford's. Eddie's like, all I did was wanted to go to church. That's all I wanted to do. I'm going to so enjoy sitting in a pew today, just kind of being by myself, worshiping God. And now this is going to be going online. Everybody in the world's going to have access to know that Ed Alexi, who lives on Short Street, phone number, went to Buford's in Washington, PA, and had two eggs, sunny side up, bacon, and potatoes scalloped with butter. And Eddie gave thanks, and he said, Father, thank you for this food. We thank you for your provision. Let it be nourishment to our bodies, and bless the hands that prepared it. I like that when Eddie says that. Bless the hands that prepared it. Because he's not even just talking about the cook in the back. Because that egg had to come from somewhere. The egg came from a chicken. And that chicken wasn't just running down 79. And somebody who works at Buford's grabbed it. Squoze its neck and popped out that egg. That's not how it worked. There's somebody who got a chicken coop. I'm guessing some type of company that Buford's orders from that would be a distributor that gets their eggs from a producer probably somewhere in China. Because it's cheaper to get an egg from China to Buford's in Washington, PA, than it is to have a chicken in Washington. And it's amazing. But anyway, there's a chicken, I almost said chicken farm, but there's a group of chickens laying eggs somewhere. And when that chicken laid that egg, it just didn't fall into that little cradle and then roll out of the coop and then down a conveyor belt and make its way onto a truck and eventually onto a plane, eventually into Buford's. Do you know there were actually people involved in that process? Did you know that? Yeah, there's people involved in that process. And that's kingdom. Eddie got to enjoy an egg and some pork farmer, some pig farmer, somewhere in the world, raise that pig, spend hours feeding and slopping and cleaning and killing. A lot of hours went into that work. of self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love. Oh no, they did it for the money, did they? Possibly. But still, when Eddie bowed his head to give thanks for gifts that he acknowledged are from God, he also acknowledges that gifts from God come through people. And people who do everything, whether they realize it or not, for the kingdom. Did you have milk? Just water? And it's not just water. Because that water, you didn't bring your own water, right? No. That water probably came out of a spigot right there at Buford's. That water came out of a spigot that's connected to pipes that are connected to the sanitation system where water gets processed, where people work, where they take our... Well, I won't go there. There's a lot that goes into just water, right? And then he had scalloped potatoes, maybe from Idaho. Somebody was on a machine early in the morning. I would imagine those farmers, they put in a lot of hours. If Eddie had milk, anybody have milk today? Nobody had milk today? You had milk today for real? Or you're just having mercy on me? Okay, milk. When's the first milking? Like 5 a.m.? 5 a.m., farmers have to get up, either hook up their cows to the machines or milk them themselves. That's the first milking. Cows need milk twice, three times a day. That's a lot of work. As someone, all we do is drink a glass of milk. Because somebody is giving of their time, their talent, their treasure, their essence, their life, to give something to somebody else. That's kingdom. Anytime you do anything in life and you are influencing the world, you are giving kingdom. And what that comes out of is the very essence of God himself. This is what we're participating in. This is our absolute privilege that God is asking us and inviting us to participate in when he says, whatever you do, you can do it as unto me. That you can participate in my self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love that has always been who I am as my essence of being, and that everything you see, everything you participate in is a result of that. I invite you to participate with me in that. And be conscious of it. There's only one deity, but that deity reveals himself in three people, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're not just one, but they are three. They are in perfect love and perfect unity in all eternity. It's hard for us to understand this. It's hard for us to grasp this because we are so finite. But from eternity past, which isn't even a correct term because there's no time, but from eternity past to eternity future, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are in perfect love, self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love toward one another. It's so important for us to understand that. That's why I say it's important for us to have a good Trinitarian theology, because it will set us free. It will enable us to live in a way that we were designed to live in. So go with me on a trip before there was time, before there was even eternity past, before there was any created thing. What was there? God. He has no beginning. He has no end. Again, we can't grasp this, but God always is, was, always will be. And what was is God always? Love. Self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love. So before anything, there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they're in this perfect unity of love, self-giving to one another, self-sacrificing for one another, other-centered to each other. You know, well, you say God's love. God's also holy. Yeah, what does holy mean? What does holy mean? What does holiness mean to God before there was sin? And obviously, holiness isn't related to sin, because before sin, he was still holy. It's a wholeness. It's the essence of completeness, the essence of perfection, holiness. But God, the very essence of who God is love, this self-sacrificial, self-sacrificing, other-centered love. Before there was time, and so before there was anything, this is how they just relate to one another. And so anything that is created comes out of that, including you, including me. And as I said earlier, there's nothing you can do to change that. There is no created thing, Paul said, can separate us from that love of God. And so there's nothing that you can do to change God the way he is, the essence of who he is. Nothing. There's nothing you have ever done. Nothing you will ever do can change who he is toward you. I don't care what you've been taught. I don't care how you read the scriptures. You cannot change the essence of God. He is immutable. That's the big fancy word that God, he doesn't change. He's the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. He is always, 1 John, love. And so he invites me into that part. That is the gospel. That is what the gospel is. The gospel means what? What does that word mean? Gospel. Good news. What is good news? Is the good news that you know, God's inviting you to participate with him, but, you know, you better toe the line. That doesn't sound like good news to me, because I have not been able to toe the line. Not only do I not toe the line, I think about not toeing the line. And then Jesus says things like, well, you've heard it said. And then he takes it into the motivation of your heart. Because it's about life and it's about living. It's not about religion. It's not about outward things and extremities. It's about living life. It's about eating from the tree of life that is God himself. And so you can come to God. We'll sing songs in churches just as I am to get people up front, to get them to say a prayer, to get them to enter into what we say is a relationship to God. And we'll sing just as I am. Oh, yes, God loves you. And yes, he takes you just as you are. And then, oh, you're in? Okay, here's a list of all the things you have to do to keep God on your good side. Because if you do anything on this list, you're out. You've backslid. You've fallen away. You've on and on and on and on and on. And somehow you are so powerful and so magnificent. You are a superhero that you have changed the essence of God himself. Congratulations. And in the essence of who they are, they love each other perfectly in complete oneness. Their dream is for that reality of who they are in and of themselves, that's ontology, another big word that just means essence, who they are. Their dream is that that reality and truth would become our reality. That we would know it as much ourselves as it is theirs, and to participate in that Trinitarian life. That's gospel. That you are loved. Tracy said it. You were loved before you were created. Before the foundations of the earth, the Lamb of God slain. The self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered God already was reaching out to you to participate with him in love before there was an earth, before there was stars, before there was a sun and a moon, before there was anything. That's good news. And what that does is the scriptures, God teaches us that perfect love, that's God, perfect love. What does it do? Perfect love casts out what? Just fear or all fear? What fear does it cast out? That I'm not good enough. That I can't toe the line. That I can't make the cut. That I'll disappoint him. That eventually he'll turn his back on me. That's fear. But perfect love, not mine, but his, beginning to learn to trust in the reality of that love makes my fears go away. It casts them away. Perfect love casts out all fear. And then I begin to function as a more whole human being that I was created to be, as an image bearer, an imager, than I could ever do in any work of my own. I learn to rest and trust in who he is and that he made the way through the cross so that I could participate with him in his Trinitarian essence. And so I'm learning to trust that love, that it's been that way through all eternity. And that's how they relate to me. And everything that's created comes out of that nature. God hasn't changed. And so I've said this before, but I want to say it again because it's so true. And I think it's the essence of what Tracy was trying to say earlier. It's that it's one thing to enjoy God's presence, but it's another thing to allow God to enjoy yours. How do you feel right now? How do you relate to God, the Father? Is he disgusted with you? Is he upset? Disappointed? Underwhelmed? When we were at the men's retreat, people spoke and I was about to share something and I thought I shouldn't do that because they said it and I didn't ask for permission, so I won't. Now I can't get out of it. Because if I would say something like, I had this friend one time, you know I'm talking about that. So there's so many characters that we read about in scripture, like Moses, a man who talked face to face with God. Abraham, a friend of God. David, a man after God's own heart. And we look to them and we put them up on a pedestal and we think, my, they must have not had the same problems and issues we do. They never do what we do. God wasn't underwhelmed with them. God was never disappointed with them. God was never upset with them. I'm under God's discipline. I never make the cut. I'm never good enough. What God is that? What father is that? Tell me, when your child learned to walk, did you get upset and disappointed with them every time they fell? Every time they tripped, every time they busted a lip, that's the season Micah's in now. Excuse me, Noah. Micah helps him. Noah, the grandson. Yeah, he thought he was running last night. It's just really a fast walk. But he was so proud of himself. He's waving one arm. But when he falls, Cody and JJ don't give him a timeout because that wasn't perfect walking. No, they're excited that he's got courage to explore new avenues through which he's got up off his hands and knees. Right? They're proud. And Jesus says, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more does the Father, the self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered one, when we walk through this life and we trip and we fall, does he always give us a timeout? Or is he like, I see you down the road. You're not walking real well right now, but you will. You're tripping a lot right now, but you'll get your feet under you. I know, because I'm the one that's transforming you. And if he knows you're going to get it on time 123, because some of us are slow, I'll include myself in the slow people. Any other slow pokes out there? Yeah, the rest of you are liars. Or what your definition of slow is. But if I'm going to get it on time 123, is he going to lose patience with me on time 72? When he can see down the road as a father, I know you're going to get it, boy. I know you're going to get it, son. That's why I have so much patience with Jesse. Dog. That's why my dad had so much patience with me. Because fathers don't give up on their kids. Mothers don't give up on their kids. You are loved beyond imagination. And that sets me free from all fear. It casts out all fear. And it makes me want to participate in that love that I've received and give it out. That's a gospel. That's good news. Join us. That's basically what we're saying as a church family. That's basically what we do in evangelism, is we say, come walk with us. Come walk with us. We don't have it all together. You'll find that out soon enough as we trip and we stumble over one another and things. Come walk with us as we learn to walk with the one who is perfect. Isn't that what Jesus said? Come on, follow me. Walk with me. Participate with me in life. Watch me. Watch how I interact. Watch how I handle disappointment. Watch how I handle life. Watch how I handle a woman caught in the act of adultery. Watch how I handle pride. Watch how I handle humility. Watch how I handle tax collectors. Watch how I handle people who rob other people. Watch. And he comes into people's lives and they are led to repentance by his love. And we get to participate in that. And so with everything being kingdom, it transforms my thinking of what evangelism is. I don't look at people anymore as a potential customer. That's what we think evangelism is. I have something that you need. And it's a warranty for your car. Do you like those calls? Then why do you think people would like you trying to sell them salvation? But if I can participate in, and I truly come with a sincere self-giving, self-sacrificial, other-centered love to somebody without an agenda, and I can just participate with them in life and truly give my life for them, then that becomes something that's light. Who doesn't want to be a part of that? And so we don't have this dualistic reality of separation of sacred and secular, or that God is separated from his creation. Let's deal with that theology in our heads. God is not separated from his creation. There was a huge chasm that separated man from God, and we didn't bridge it. God did. And God knew he would have to bridge that chasm before there was ever a chasm, because he already had the plan, because that's what Father does. And so the separation that was between man and God was bridged by God himself when he gave himself through the incarnation, and then he gave himself on the death of the cross. That separation has been eliminated. And not just for those who believe. God is involved in everything. I'm messing with theology. God is involved in everything. He is not just involved in those lives of people who believe. He reigns, the scripture says, he gives reign to just and unjust. Who's breathing air this morning? Just those who know Jesus? How about this? When Peter needed a little bit of a theological adjustment, God had to send him a vision, because he knew that Peter was a little prejudiced. He knew that Peter was a little racist. And so he had to send him a vision. But before he sent him the vision, he sent another individual a vision, who had a dream or a vision. His name was Cornelius. He was Roman. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't in the covenant family of God. He didn't have a relationship with God, but scripture says that he loved God's people. He gave alms to the poor. He helped people. And the Bible says that that went up as like an aroma to God. This man didn't have a relationship with God through Christ. And God was participating with him in life prior to what we call the conversion. And God had been preparing not only him, but who? The entire family and Peter. Because God is working in everything. God is not separated from his creation. Because kingdom is everything. Not only that, there's no such thing as sacred and secular work. Well, Pastor, it's easy for you to say. You get to speak and you get to do all that churchy stuff. That's sacred work. I'm just a box maker. I'm just a airplane part salesman. See, I'm nailing some of you, and some of you don't know. I'm just a physical therapist. I'm just a teacher. I'm just a pig farmer. I just collect eggs from my chickens. I just dig potatoes out of the ground. That's all I do. All I do is I'm what's called a first responder. Yeah, secular work. I'm a first responder. What I do is when people are in trouble and there's a catastrophe or a crisis in their life, what I do is I leave my life and I self-give and I'm self-sacrificial and I'm other-centered and I go into burning buildings to look for people and animals and help them out of a burning fire. But I'm not saved, so that's secular work. No, that is a participation in the essence of the Trinity themselves. Whenever there is self-sacrificial, self-giving, other-centered love. 9/11, 20 years ago, is that right? 20 years ago, I can still see that picture of those buildings on fire. And there's this one picture, I don't know what the truck number was, but they show them going across a bridge towards those. Do you know the picture? Someone snapped this picture of that fire truck headed toward those burning buildings with all those men in it. And those men and women ran into that building and started climbing steps. Well, I wonder how many of them were saved. I don't care. They were giving the very essence of God himself as they said no to their own life, to their own comfort, to their own wives, to their own husbands, to their own families, to their own desires and dreams, and headed upstairs to try and save a life. And there is no greater love than this, than someone who lays down their life for another. There is no divide between secular and sacred work. God is at work bringing eggs to Ed and bacon to Ed and potatoes to Ed and milk to, what is your name, honey? And milk to Kirsten. You made the internet, Kirsten. You want me to put your last name on there too? No. And when we bow our heads to give thanks, we don't say thank you for the saved people who bring me eggs, and saved people who bring me milk, and saved people who bring... God provides for you, doesn't he? Is God your provider? Is God your defender? Does he defend you through the police force? Yeah. Because there's no such thing as sacred and secular, and that everything is kingdom. There's no such thing as a secular IT worker. Because everything God uses, and he's orchestrating, and we're moving toward this kingdom that is like leaven, that it starts small, and that it gets into things, and it starts to expand, and eventually fills the whole earth. Everything is kingdom. And when we think it's not, it paralyzes the body. There's no such thing as clergy and laity. It's true. There's no such thing in the body of Christ as a group that is called laity and a group that is called clergy. The whole body of Christ, members one of another, bringing the kingdom of God to the earth. And the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of you. The eye can't say to the ear, I'm greater than you. And so everything, all that one coat in that bin. And Jesus said, I was naked and you clothed me. The one glass of water the waitress brought when I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. Everything is kingdom. Everything is kingdom. That's why you can look at every human being with dignity and respect and honor that they deserve, because they are an imager. They are an image bearer of God himself as we participate in his kingdom. Man, it's 12 o'clock. I'm only on page 2. Does the Christian baker have to put a cross on every one of his cupcakes? Come on, you Pharisees. What, you're a Christian and you put a cupcake out there without a verse on it? Does the Christian businessman and woman have to put a scripture on their business card? Does a musician have to write a song with the key words that the whole Christian community knows, the 250 buzzwords? Or are they allowed outside that parameter to write a song to move the hearts of people? That a person can't write a song if they're not a believer that speaks truth? Cats in the Cradle, the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you coming home, Jesus? I don't know when. Oh, wait, no, it didn't have the word Jesus in it. Powerful song that has probably moved men to be better fathers than tons of Christian songs. There's no division between secular and secretive. Secretive. Secular and sacred. All right, I'm done. I have more, but I wanted to talk about walking in the Spirit, and doesn't mean you have to be a Pentecostal crazy person. And maybe next week. My desire was to encourage you to be free, to be who you are, who God made you to be uniquely, because that is the kingdom communicated through you. So lighten up. Let your creative juices flow without the Pharisee in your head. And recognize that you can be a first responder every day. Do like Brian and have a bring Jesus to work day. Every day. Father, thank you for the reality of what we've just heard, that I am secure in trusting you. I have a foundation I built on the rock as I know and trust you better. And as we as a church family so desire to be a greater light and greater salt in our lives, not as a way to please you, because we can't make you any more pleased than you are, but to participate with you and let others know how wonderful you are and how beautiful you are, and that you truly are the greatest thing that we've ever experienced in life. And that when we walk contrary to your essence, bad things happen. Because that's what you said. We sow what we reap. We reap what we sow. And so thank you. As we just speak your blessing over one another, Father, let the light of these truths penetrate our being. And as we walk in greater intimacy with you, thank you for them becoming a reality. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day in the Lord.